Thank you. Good morning, Gateway. We're going to start now. Please stand if you're able as we open our worship service with the song Faith. Please stand and join us. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Pop, pop, ra, ra, pop. Papa, ra, pa, 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 pa. Papa, ra, ra, pa. Papa, ra, pa, 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 pa. I'm reaching for the prize. I'm giving everything. I give my life for this. It's what I live for. Nothing will keep me from all that you have for me. You hold my head up high. I live for you. Greater is he that's living in me than he that is in the world. Faith, I can move the mountain. I can do all things through Christ. I know faith, standing and believing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm reaching for the prize. I'm giving everything. I give my life for this. It's what I live for. Nothing will keep me from all that you have for me. You hold my head up high. I live for you. Greater is he that's living in me than he that is in the world. Faith, I can move the mountain. I can do all things through Christ. I know faith, standing and believing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I'm sure this mic is going to start working at some stage. Let's greet those around us. Sorry, before you sit down, let's say hello to those around us. Clearly, we're still in the new year. There's a whole lot of excitement, a whole lot of people we haven't met, and a whole lot of things that haven't yet been said. So this is good. Nice to meet with the family again. Just a few quick announcements. No, I'm not Wayne, in case anybody was confused. Wayne is interim moderator, and he's serving at a, I think it's Heidelberg? I'm not sure. Nigel, thank you. Yes. This morning. And Andre is standing in for him at the pulpit here this morning. So we thank Andre for doing that. And we pray God's blessing on Wayne this morning as he's in Nigel and also in his travels. Then quick announcement. The evening services start again on the 26th of January. Those that are waiting in anticipation for the evening services, let's start the year with great excitement on that. And then, Chris, won't you come up here quickly? I like embarrassing my brother in Christ. Chris has been serving as a ruling elder for a few years now, and the man is getting old. He's stepping back from a whole lot of things. I'll bend down. And we just thank Chris for the years of service, and let's just pray for him. Dear Lord God, we just thank you for Chris and the way he's served and assisted on session. Lord God, we just pray that you'll be with him in this time of rest. But Lord God, we also pray that you'll give work to him as he can do and as he sees fit. So Lord God, we thank him for his life, and we thank you for the input that he has in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've probably forgotten a whole host of things, but that's okay. We'll leave it over to God to sort out. Okay, over to the worship team.
Thanks, Kyle. Please stand as we continue our worship service. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity and the privilege that we can gather as a community. We pray for all the churches who are worshiping and giving praise to you, Lord, especially those in countries where our faith is persecuted or their faith is persecuted. Father, we just lift them up to you. So be with us as we continue to sing praises to you. Let's sing Hosanna, Praises Rising. What we are facing through, because we believe the battle belongs to you. So let's sing this song. Thank you. carrying today, we just lay it at your feet, Father, for at the cross you redeemed us. At the cross we surrender our lives and we stand in awe of what you have done for us. For at the cross there is hope. At the cross there is salvation. So we just thank you, Lord, for your blood that washed away our sins. And for your overflowing love and mercy and grace. So join us as we sing at the cross.
Where
like to listen to your word. So as we sing, teach me your ways, Father God, speak to our hearts, that we will continue to grow our faith and live our lives to glorify your name. So join us as we sing, teach me your ways. For the Holy Spirit to be in our midst and give us a heart that will receive your word and respond with obedience, Father God. So teach us your ways, Lord. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord God, we just come before you here and we lift up Andre to you as he delivers your word to us here this morning. We pray, Lord God, that you'll fill him with the Holy Spirit, that you'll lead and guide him in the words he says. We pray that you'll put a guard in front of his mouth, that everything he says comes directly from you. And Lord God, we pray for open hearts and open minds to receive the word you have for us, that it might find fertile soil and that we can go into the future with the message that you have embedded in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Cole. I wonder if you can just, while you're sitting there at your chair, just, you know, just put out your hands in a receiving mode this morning, you know, as we sang a song, Teach Us Your Ways. And then it says, if I've basically found favor in your sight, you know, if you called me by your by my name, you know, will you pour your favor upon me? So I want us just to do a prayer this morning, you know, where you commit yourself. When Carl prayed for me and he said, Lord, let every word be the word of the Lord, I realized I'm in deep, deep, deep trouble. Because, you know, yeah, ek is in die moeilikheid. Would you put out your hands and say after me, Father God, let's say it aloud, Father God, this morning, I acknowledge I've failed you so many times, but you are there to teach me your ways. Teach me this morning your ways to position myself for a greater blessing for 2025. I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you look at your neighbor and say, you're in trouble this morning? Deep, deep trouble. I actually can't believe, I can't believe that you guys are so suckers for punishment. And allow me to preach again this morning, you know. I can't believe it, you know. But you know what? My desire, and I believe this is God's desire. This morning, God's desire for you and me is to be intentional. Because God was intentional with his love. Amen? Amen. You know, he sent Jesus to redeem us, to bring us in a relationship with him. He was intentional. All the prophets, everybody in from the old right to the New Testament was prophesying about God's intent that this is what he's going to do. And the least you and I can do is to be intentional as well about 2025. And this is what I want to share. A couple of months, I can't, maybe 1 or 2 months ago, I shared on the growth factor. You know, those 4 steps of growth. Anybody that can remember that? You get a discount on your tithing. Anybody else? You know, anyway, that God wants us to grow. You know, it's unnatural when you have a little one and he still wants to drink on his mother, you know. When this boy gets 5 years old and he's still looking to, you know, to have milk, mother's milk, you know, you're going to have a problem, you know. And as he gets older, the more embarrassing it gets, you know, because you want him to start eating solid foods. And the same way, God wants us to grow. Grow up. It's time to grow up. So this morning, you can put up the slide there. I want to us just to look at some scripture, just to lay a foundation of what is God's intent with us. You know, when you look at three verses here, you know, that David describes in Psalm twice, that he says, why are you mindful of us? You know, that you, in chapter 8, he talks to us that you think of us all the time. Your thoughts is directed to us. And David can't understand, why is God so mindful of us? You know, have you ever thought of that, you know? When you make mistakes and you do it again and again, I know I'm the only sinner here this morning that do make mistakes, you know, and you look at surprise at me, but, you know, we fail. We do fail. But the thing is, God keeps on thinking of us. He's mindful of us. And the same, you know, when I look at Job and I read Job, that is just amazing in Job 7. After whatever Job is going through with these 3 friends, he even called them 3 lousy friends because you are lousy. You can't even carry me properly, you know. But then he says here in verse 17, he says, what is mankind that you make so much of them? Why do you make so much of us? Why do you make so much of me? God, am I that important to you? And God says, yes, you are important to me. And then he says that you give them so much attention. Don't you just love that verse? I love this verse. It's an amazing verse, you know. And then he says that you examine me every morning. You test me every moment. And then he says, will you never look away from me or leave me even for an instant? God, when God's zooming on you and he focuses on you, his intention is to see you grow up. Is for you to become more like Jesus Christ. Amen? Be a good Presbyterian church and say now and then, amen. You know? Just to know that you are awake and you agree with me, you know, it's important to the preacher, you know. Even in Proverbs, Solomon addresses his son. And he says to his son, my son, pay attention to what I say. And this morning I want to say, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those. Listen, they are life. They are life to those who find them and health to your whole body. Listen here, this is incredible benefits. It's not just that God will bless you, but even your body finds healing. This is the promise God gives. I want to say it again, for they are life to those who find them. And they are health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And this morning we want to say, what plans have you got in your heart? How intentional are you about growing this year? You see, it's all about positioning yourself. I really believe God wants you to position yourself for blessing. That's his heart. In Chronicles 4 verse 9, it's this amazing man that I find truly amazing, because you know, you, when you read Chronicles 2 and 3 and 4, you just read about the genealogy, you know, of this one begot this one and begot, you know, and then you begotten and you know, it's like, you know, okay, you know, how many times you must you be begot, you know, let's go to the next chapter, yeah, you know, sort of thing. But yeah, amongst all these verses, this thing just pops up. Jabez says, there was a man, Jabez, who was more honorable than any of his brothers. And the key is not what he asked. The key was he was positioned. For many people pray, you know, and say, you know, yeah, you know, I want to, you know, enlarge my territory. Let me not be a pain. Let me be a blessing, Lord. But the thing is, when you are not positioned, God cannot answer those prayers. And when you look at the Hebrew word kavet, kavet is actually the meaning of he was weighty. Weight. He had weight in his prayer. And not only weight, but he was respected. He was honored amongst his peers, amongst his brothers and sisters. The description of Jabez indicates that he was distinguished by his character and actions. He knew where he was going. He knew where he came from. He knew his pain. That in 2024 it wasn't a great year. But how can be 2025 a different year? Because you can make a difference. You are not a victim to your circumstances, my friend. If you believe that, you're in trouble. Then you don't need prayer, you need some hands on, you know, as well with the prayer. Because you're not going to move forward. And here he's not just his character, but his action setting him apart. And the question is, how do you set yourself apart from your brothers and sisters? Because there is an aspect of being set apart. In a biblical context, honor is often associated with righteousness. A life that aligns, listen carefully, a life that aligns with God's will. What is God's will? Jabez honorably suggests that he lived a life of integrity and faithfulness, which is further emphasized by his prayer in the following verse. And then Jabez's prayer. You know, because his name meant pain. His mother called him Pain. What a horrible name. Hey, Pain, kom hier so. How would you like that, you know? Genade, you know. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you will bless me. Expand my territory. Please be with me in all I do. And keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted his request. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? And that prayer, God wants you to pray. But this morning, I want to help you to position yourself. You see, if God says, my son, if you at this place in your life, here, this is where my blessing comes upon you. And you can decide, now I'll pray from this distance. Because there's no strength in your prayer. There's no authority because of your of the hang-ups and the hurts and the habits you're still holding on to. Your injuries of the past. Your bitterness, your unforgiveness. And you pray that prayer, my friend. That's why so many Christians do not live successful Christian lives. And they battle, and they can't understand. The Bible doesn't make sense, you know. I read it, and it doesn't make sense. Because you're not positioning yourself. And I'm not just talking to you about that. When you walk out here and you wonder, well, okay, how do I position? I'm going to tell you exactly how to position yourself. And the liewe Jesus help you as you dit nie doen nie. Because I know my heart. Deep down in my heart, I know what it means to have God's ear. God's ear is available for you and me. And his voice didn't stop speaking. The Holy Spirit didn't stop after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. His voice is still here. He speaks to you, my friend. We're not just listening. We're not listening. Because we're not positioned. And this morning, I want you to position yourself. Listen to what the Bible says here. Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you. When you walk in alignment with God's plans, then he says, I know the plans I have for you. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans like what? For your welfare, not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. In the midst of trauma, of a major challenge that those Israelites faced when Jerusalem was destroyed and they were taken captive to Babylon, this word came through the prophet Jeremiah. Now imagine when you're in a crisis and you face so much difficulties, and in that crisis God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare. Because God's intention was never, never to hurt you, to harm you. Because if you believe that, you're in trouble, my friend. You're in big trouble. His intention is to lift you up, to give you a future, and to give you hope, to give you direction. The next verse, it says, Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you. That's his promise. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you in my loving eye. Loving. My loving eye will be on you. The promise is, God says to you this morning, my child, I'll be there for you. Just spend some time with me. Just be alone. I know during the walking in victory, after we shared a couple of lessons in the afternoon, we say to the people, just go and just sit alone all over here. And just be alone for an hour. For some people, it feels very long. But when you start cleaning yourself up and you're addressing the nonsense that's happening in your life, and you know this stuff is holding you back, you cannot move forward, and you've addressed it, and you're busy clearing up some debris so that the water can flow through this pipe, and then you sit alone with God, then God's voice becomes so clear. I know so many people that is weeping. They sit there, they weep. Because for so long they haven't heard God's voice. And then God starts speaking to them, giving them direction. Again, Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Can we say it all together? 1, 2, 3. Lean not on your own understanding. Look at your neighbor and say, do not lean on your own understanding. You see, you become your worst enemy. It was Smith Wigglesworth, well-known evangelist in England many years ago, powerful guy that God used in a mighty way. And he was walking down the street of London one day. When he came around the corner, he saw the devil. I don't know if he was dreaming or whatever, but that's the story, you know. He saw the devil there crying his heart out. And he walked up to the devil and he says, listen here, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you crying? He says, yeah, the Christians are blaming me for everything. Stop blaming the devil, my friend. You're your worst enemy. The only way, you know what I'm saying? The only way the devil's got something on you is what you give him. Can I say that again? Because the penny needs to drop here. The only way the devil can be successful messing up your life is what you give him. Stop giving him fuel that messes up the fire in you. Amen. And we need to ask ourselves, you know, what's happening here? So this morning, I just want to humbly, very humbly submit to you 7 steps. I kept it 7 because 7 is the holy number. So we kept it 7 this morning. And the first one here is submit your will to His will. All you need to do as the first step to get in line with God's will for your life is just go and say to Him, God, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding anymore. I'm tired. I don't want a repeat of 2024. I want 25 to be better. Anybody that wants that? Thank you. Going straight to heaven. Going to heaven. Going to straight. Anybody else? Come on. Who doesn't want to be a better 2025? You want it, you know? That's what you want. And the question is, how are you going to get there? Is let's positioning ourselves. Let's move to the place where God wants you to be. So the first thing you do is you say, God, not my will. And then you ask for forgiveness for leaning on your own understanding. You say, God, will you forgive me? Be genuine. Because the minute you repent, you've moved from here halfway already to where the blessing lies. And this is why some people battle. They battle. And that's why we put the road down. I wrote the walking in victory. To help you on this road to victory. To get to the place to position yourself that God listens and hear your prayer. Because for once in your life as a Christian, you become radical and saying, God, I'm not going to be lukewarm. I'm going to be hot. Because God detests lukewarmness. Rather be cold. And then you surrender your plans to Him. Say, God, I'm going to be open. This could be a very short, but it could be a bit longer. But you, at least if you start, keep on meditating on that for a couple of days where you just say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. I want your Holy Spirit to speak me, guide me in what's your plan. Guys, listen. Many people think it's a tricky thing. It's actually very simple. It's not difficult to know what God's plan is for your life. Don't worry, God doesn't want you to go to Siberia to be an evangelist. Or to Congo to be an evangelist. Because if that's not what you want, God will not force you to do anything that you don't want. God will change your heart eventually that you do want to go to Siberia. You know, it's this Tani that says to the Domini, Domini, I feel, you know, God wants you to go to Japan to go and minister the gospel, you know. And he said, nah. So when did that happen? He says, Tani, the Tani said, from here, I prayed and I felt clearly the Lord wants you to go to Japan to go and minister the gospel. I think his preaching was boring. So try to get rid of him. I don't know. So nobody praying for me to go to Japan 2 years, I believe. And then he looked at the Tani and said, Matani, then you must come with me. She said, no, the Lord said, you must go. He says, yeah, Tani must go with me because I need to know when I must come back. Listen here, God wants to speak to you, my friend. He wants to minister to you, you know. So the second thing is, then what you do is after you pray that prayer and you've waited on the Lord, don't rush it. But then you evaluate your current situation. Sit, ask yourself, what are your pains? What are your frustrations? Write it down. You know, you'll be surprised the minute you write it down, you're already taking the next step towards the circle of being a blessing. That circle of blessing, positioning yourself. Write it down. You see, God wants to see where you are at. So you write it down. What's my pain and what's my frustration? Because you want to use it as a motivation where you want to be in 2025. And then if you are brave, very brave, you can put something else. I didn't put it in there. But if you've written down your pain and frustrations, then you ask yourself, if this continue for another year, what's the fear and implications of my pain and frustrations? Then you might get some turpentine to get you going. You know what I'm saying? You say, listen, yeah, I cannot carry on like this. When it comes to my relationship with my wife, my husband, with my children, the community I am in, my finances, my health. Guys, listen here. We can do something about our health. I get frustrated when I get to the doctor. And he says to me, Jong, vat het 'n pilletjie. 'N cholesterol pilletjie. So doctor, do I need to any change any habit? No. Eet daai feekie. Daai choppie. No problem. He says, no. Just carry on the way you're doing, you know. It worries me. I'm not a medical doctor. Say, hallelujah, thank goodness he's not one. But the question I want to ask you is, you know, if you keep on doing what you're doing, don't expect different results. You know, some of us need to become more healthier. Ja, kyk vir jou broer. Nee, sorry, I'm just joking. We need to become more healthier, you know. Come on. The third one we got here is, after you've written down your pain and frustrations, even looking at the fear and implications of where this is going, then you become still. You become still. And say, Lord, I need to. This is what it was. God, can we write something new for 2025? And then you write it down. Because you become still and you wait on the Holy Spirit to guide you. That's what Psalm 37 says. Be still. Be still and know that I'm God. God's calling you to be still. Because then you turn off your own understanding and you say, God, this is... I want your Holy Spirit to tell me. What would I like to see? Let the Holy Spirit put the words in your heart. Lord, I would love to see my relationship. I don't want to be frustrated last year with my relationship because you know it was on and off and I didn't enjoy. I didn't walk in your joy. I didn't walk in your peace as I should. I'm frustrated. But this year I want to walk closer to you. Lord, show me what can I do. And you write it down. Because the minute you write down not only what you want to move away from, but where you want to go, you're another step closer in that circle where God wants you to be. Amen. To position yourself, that's God's heart. And then you write down where you are, want to be in your relationship with God. Where do you want to be in the relationship with people? That people will enjoy you because you're enjoying yourself. You got peace. You got joy. Others can enjoy you. You know, it's sometimes difficult to love some of these congregation members here, you know. When I joined, Pastor Wayne gave me a list of some of your names, you know. He says, you know, we need some working here, you know. Desperate, you know. But that's the challenge, you know. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And then you write it down. Habakkuk says, record the vision. Folks, I'm telling you, every time you do one, you're moving closer. You're moving closer to where the blessing of God is. To be honorable. To be a man, a woman of character. To have weight. Because you need weight to be able to pray that prayer. And if you don't have weight, you're wasting your time. I've seen many people, you know, say, Pastor, you know, would you lay hands on me and pray for me? Well, why must I do it? Now, you're very close to God. Oh. So you want to abuse me as a pastor? No, but you know, God will listen to you. Hallelujah. You know, that's where you lay hands on like this. Let me hit you with a word, my friend, you know. Because the word is not where it's supposed to be, deep down in your heart. All right. Number five. When it comes to you share it with a trusted person. Don't keep it a secret. Share it with somebody that you can trust. We call it an accountability partner. It's not a swear word. It is somebody that can keep you accountable on a weekly basis and say, how are you doing? My friends, you'll find your life suddenly. That's why if you want to gym, get a buddy to go and gym. It's important to have a buddy because he will help you to wake up in the morning because he's going to wait there for you and you're not going to turn up. Share your goal. Where do you want to go? You're accountable. And I can keep you accountable on a weekly basis. Those points you want to go to where you desire, where you dream to be, what you feel God has given you, share it with somebody. 92% of the world population, I googled it, and Google Lichni. I googled it. Google is not die huisgenoot, die huisgenoot, die huisgenoot, hy praat die waarheid. You know? Like You Magazine, I'm lying. And on Google, it says not on one side, but you can Google it. On many sides, I reckon 92% of people never accomplish their dreams. Only 8% of the world population reach their goal. The most richest place on earth is the graveyard, because all the dreams and the desires are buried there that have never been accomplished. Only 8%. And the question is, would you want to be part of that 8%? And you can say to me, yeah, Andre, I'm too old now. Nonsense. You're never too old to be this most amazing person at the old age home. Why don't you want to be a miserable old man in the old age home one day? That everybody runs away with. From. Not with. From. Nobody wants to run with you. They want to run from you. That was an Afrikaans slip there, eh? But that's it. You know, so this is where God wants you to be. And then you take small steps. Because that's why you got an accountability partner to share your small steps with, you know. Because this is where I am now, but this is where I want to be. Now, by just praying a Yahweh's prayer is not going to make you, whoops, now you're suddenly there where God's blessing is. Listen here, my friend. This is going to be listening to the Holy Spirit and taking step by step by step moving to where God's want you to be. You'll be a pastor's dream in this church. We know what's the vision of this church. This church wants to grow. Amen. Do you want to be part of a growing church? Oh, come on. Do you want to see young people coming in? I'm waiting for the day to put earplugs in my ear when all this, you know, the youth band's going to go, wah, 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 you know, and I say, let me just put plugs, but I'm going to be here, you know, standing here, you know, say, yes, do it, you know, and I'm going to put some more earplugs in, you know, just to soften the noise. But yes, the next generation is on fire for God. Amen. Isn't that what we want? Amen. Let them be on fire. Have a greater fire. We need to impart that fire. But they're not going to take it from us if we're not positioned. We have to be positioned to be able to impart that blessing so they can run with it. Because the fields are white unto a harvest. Listen here, my friend. The fields are white unto a harvest. But the laborers, we need laborers. I said to Carl this morning, I'm going to phone Elon Musk. I want him to make me a robot, AI. And then we're going to program it to spread the gospel. Because I'm desperate. I'm desperate, you know. I'm already thinking of maybe we need to get some robots here, you know, to help to reach the harvest. Because the devil has sang us a lullaby as a church. And it says, you know, just relax, just be easy, you know. And you know, you know this word, a narrative. It becomes a narrative. And I say, the Pope, not the Pope, one of the priests, Saint Francis of Assisi, that he says, preach the gospel at all times. And if it's necessary, use words. And then sometimes people think it's a verse out of the Bible. And I'm telling you, we need to kill this one very quickly. Because God wants you to be authentic so you can speak with authority. God doesn't want you to be quiet. Because too many Christians are too quiet. We're not active. We're not out there and saying, God, where are you moving? God, what are you doing here in our town? Where can I get involved? Folks, my wife knows. She's very upset with me. Please pray for her. She's asking me, now, when do you think of getting retired? And I'm just getting more refired and you know, I just want to get going, you know, and say, listen, you know, the time is short. We need to be on fire. We need to address. We need to be out there. We need to equip. We need to, you know, stir people to do things for God. Amen. I can see there's another sermon coming here. What's the time? Let me just see here. And then, the last one. Pray continually. As you written down where you want to go. As you got your accountability partner. As you share those small steps. Then you write, you pray. And you say, God, will you? Then you're at the position to pray. And God granted his request. Wouldn't it be wonderful that God grants you request? Listen here, nowhere in the Bible it says you'll not go through difficult times. Don't think that you're saying, God, I don't want anything to happen to me this year. Things going to happen that might not be positive, but God's going to take you through. When the fire, when the water comes, Isaiah promises, you'll be there, right there next to our side. This is not a prosperity gospel. To think that, you know, if something is wrong with you, you know, God's not pleased and happy with you. No, God is building character then. It's time to build character. But he will take you through. The blessing when Moses says to the people in Deuteronomy, he talks about life and death. And then he talks about a choice. What do you choose? My question this morning, what do you choose? Do you choose life or do you choose death? Now, death is just keep on doing nothing. That's part of death. By just thinking good thoughts, having good intentions, but you have to put flesh and legs on your intentions to get to where God wants you to be. Otherwise, you're not going to move forward. Listen, you're not going to move forward. And then he says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life. Choose that this year will be a different year. Decide which direction you're going to go. Because if you don't, as much as God has got a plan for your life, so the devil's got one as well. And his plan is what to do what? According to John 10 verse 10, his plan is to do what? Steal, destroy, kill. That's his plan. What's God's plan? Jesus says, I've come to do what? Give you what? Life. Abundant life. That's God. That's the promise of Jesus. Listen here. I'm trying not to share what I think. I'm trying to give you what I feel God is saying this morning. I want to read to you as well in Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God, carefully follow his commands, I give you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, high above all your companions you work with in your community. He will set you high. All these blessings will come on you, and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket, your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in. You will be blessed when you go out. God wants you to be blessed. Believe me, my friend. That you can walk in the fullness of joy and in fullness of peace and of righteousness. That's God's desire for you and me. If I could prophesy this morning, and I could say, this is what the Lord's saying. And maybe it will sound strange to you. But I got no problem to prophesy over people. And I can do it with my eyes open. I don't need to be close and start to shake or whatever, you know. God can speak in a moment. And if I want to prophesy over you, I want to say to your church, the Lord is saying to you this day that the plans He has for you is for your welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future. The Lord's plans for you this morning is to become effective within this church. Father God is saying to you this day, I want to take you by the hand and I will teach you. I will instruct you in the ways you should go. Do not be like a horse or a mule that's stubborn. Allow me to lead you to the way where you're going to become more effective, more successful, so that others can be drawn and you can share with them the goodness of what I'm about. That is what God is saying to you. Can you receive that as a word from the Lord for you this morning? Can I see your hand? I want you to stand. I just want you to stand right now. And the final verse I want to share with you is when the Bible says in Isaiah, you can close your eyes. Isaiah 26 verse 3. You, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because you trust in the Lord. Can I say it again? God says this morning, I will keep in perfect peace for 2025 those whose hearts and minds are steadfast because they trust in the Lord. Would you hold out your hand? Would you say after me, Father God, this morning, I know Andrea has spoken, but your voice in my heart spoken louder. Change me. Change me. So I can become. So I can position myself for blessing. Only you can do it, Lord. I don't want to be like the kings of Judah, of Israel, that was doing their own thing. Walking in the wrong direction. And you have to withdraw your blessing. Please, Lord, change me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll continue worshiping God by taking up the offering now.
Let us pray for the offering. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Thank you for life, breath, strength to even make money and make wealth. Thank you for the blessing this morning, and we receive it. May all that we do be blessed. May you bless us and bless us indeed. May you enlarge our territory. May you enlarge our influence. And may you bless these offerings, O God. May they be used to expand your kingdom. And may they bring glory to you, O God. May you bless them, pressed down, shaken, and running over, Lord. May we see your goodness even in this land of the living. May we be blessed at work, blessed at church, blessed in the city, blessed in the villages, blessed wherever we are, Lord God, and may we continue to shine the light for your glory. Thank you for your plans that are good and perfect. We submit even your will for our finances to you this morning. In our finances, may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing song, I Will Never Be. Thank you for the word of God that was preached. And we pray that you will never be the same again, because you have surrendered your life to God. I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I will run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be. Never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I will run the race. And I will never be the same again. For like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let the flame burn to glorify your name. There are higher heights, there are deeper seas. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do it in me. Glory of God.
Amen. That's a big word. I'll never be the same again. Oh, amazing, eh? We're in trouble, eh? I want to invite you. We're doing the Walking in Victory. We're doing a love Walking in Victory over Valentine. You're going to fall in love with God. Amen. So we call it a love God, Valentine, walking in victory. Do you like the name? Amen. You're welcome. Put your name down there and come on in and do it. Not only that maybe you think you may, maybe I don't need it, but get equipped. You know, when Pastor Wayne does the Alpha course, it's not because he thinks it's the good idea. It's to reach your friends. That when you come and do the Alpha course, you see what it's about, and then you start praying for your friends, and you invite them next time to come. Amen. And then you join them. I said to my daughter, there's two of her friends that's going through a lot of trouble. I said to her, my girl, you're doing the walking in victory. She said, Dad, again? I said to her, yes, because you need to invite those two friends. So you're not going to let them here be alone. You're going to be with them. Because God calls you to make disciples. Amen. And we want to create opportunities in this church to help you to reach and make disciples. Amen. Because that's the commission. Go and make disciples. Amen. So we have these courses that we create for you. Now you think, you sit here and say, no, 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 it's for somebody else. No, no, it's for you. So you can come and attend and you invite your friend, your next door neighbor that's irritating you, your colleague that's frustrating you, and you're praying for them, you bake them a cake, and then you invite them to come to the walking victory or whatever. Amen. Sorry, I didn't finish preaching now. No. Will you hold out your hands? Receive the blessing. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us. Have a blessed week, everyone. Be the change that the world needs. And see you next Sunday for another worship service.
Confusing my mind.
What did he go skateboarding?